To Psalm 34. Psalm 34. That's where we're going to be spending most of our time this evening. Once again, very much appreciate the group here. It has been such an encouraging day, such a wonderful day to be together as God's people, to worship together, to study together, and be together as God's people. We continue to pray for the work here, and I petition your prayers also for the work that continues to go on in Charlottesville. It is a wonderful thing that we can be a part of one another's lives, and we already have so much in common, even if we have only known each other such a short time, and that is truly a blessing. And Abby and I both appreciate the relationship that we have with all of you. Looking at Psalm 34, I believe the last time I was here, we spoke on another psalm, a psalm of Asaph, and that psalm dealt with the subject of doubt. And the psalm that I'd like for us to look at this evening is a psalm that deals with similar themes, but even builds upon those thoughts as well, and it is the thoughts of anxiety. What do we do in the face of anxiety? We talk often about remembering and trusting in God, remembering those things that He's already done for us and continuing to trust in God because of those things. We recently went through James in our morning study in Charlottesville, and there is much talked about in how we are to take joy in the trials that might face our lives. But it's often a very hard thing to accept, right? We know that trials are going to come. We know that tribulations are going to come. But when they do come, those are hard to deal with. Those are hard to accept. And so trusting in the face of all of those things can bring difficulty. It can bring anxiety. It can bring stress. And often we have anxiety. We have those feelings because things begin to pile up. Perhaps we have past trauma in our lives that brings forward some of those things. We have fear of the unknown. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Or perhaps we have shame because of who we are in our past lives, or maybe even our current lives. And we might find that when we try to fill our lives with other things of this world, by whatever it might be, and scrolling, right? That dopamine. Or whether it be eating, or, of course, drugs, sleeping, whatever it might be to fill that void, it's never going to be enough. It might work for a short time, but it is never going to fill that void fully and completely. But I hope as we look at this psalm this evening, we find that when we come to God, He is the one that can fill that void, and He can make us complete and whole, and He gives us the answers for whatever anxieties, whatever stresses might enter our lives. So before we get into the text this evening, just to offer some quick context of what has been going on in the life of David, which is the one who wrote this particular psalm. In David's life, he had previously been in the good graces of King Saul, who was currently the king of Israel. He had been a friend to Saul and his family for quite a long time. He had befriended Saul's son, Jonathan. He'd even married one of Saul's daughters, Michal. But Saul, as time went on, began to grow jealous of David. And he eventually even hated David. He sought to kill him, to kill David, and David was thus forced to flee from the presence of Saul. And Saul was getting very close to capturing David as he was pursuing him. And after David had visited Ahimelech, the priest, David finds himself amongst the people of Gath. Now, if you remember, Gath is the land of which Goliath was from. So David is now in the land of the one that he had conquered previously to this. And so now he finds himself in the land of the enemy. And in order to escape, he has to play the part of a fool. He has to act insane in order to get out of that situation. And so he does so. He flees the land of the enemy. So he is not welcome in his own home, in his own home country, and he is not welcome in the land of strangers. And so David is on the run, and as that is happening, we pick up in Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. David is on the run from King Saul. And the first thing that he does as we begin this psalm is he praises God. He gives praise and honor and glory to God. And he says in verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. Not just sometimes, but at all times. It can be easy for us to focus on the moment, to focus on what is happening in the here and now, and to focus on the negativity that is happening in our lives, perhaps. No matter where we go, what we do, what we try to do to get out of any uncomfortable situation, it seems that the deck is always stacked against us and we can't win. But when that happens, oftentimes, perhaps most of the time, it is when we forget God and God is not in the picture that we have those thoughts. We go throughout those days not considering God, not considering what he has done for us in the past, not considering those good things, and not considering those good things that are still present in our lives. Not that just have happened, but continue to happen. David continues in this psalm, and he says, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Verse 2, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. Despite what happens, we boast in the Lord, because he is the one that is able to deliver us. Not us, we are not able to get out of that, whatever situation it might be on our own. He is able to lift us up, to lift us out of our troubles, or at least to help us get through those things. In the book of James, in the first chapter, and throughout some of the other verses in that book, talks about, again, finding the joy in the trials, because who we turn to, who we serve, he is the one that is able to give us joy in those trials. Apart from him, that's going to be pretty miserable. And it's not to say that those things aren't difficult, that they aren't hard, but when God is in the picture, it makes it so much more so much more tolerable and able to get through those things. Coming back to the text in verse 3, David says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." David did not forget the position that he was in, even when he was on the run from King Saul. At this point, David had already been anointed as king of Israel, as the future king, and yet King Saul was still in power. And yet, where did he find himself? He found himself on the run from the one whom he was to succeed on the throne of Israel. In 1 Samuel 22, we find those who gathered to David, which is where we find the context of this story leading up to this psalm, we find those that gathered to David, brothers, those who were in distress, they all gathered to David. And they were in distress. They didn't know what was going to happen next. And it is likely that David uttered these words very shortly after that time. "Let us join together in praising God. Let us remember those things that God has done for us. All of us who are downtrodden, where it seems things are hopeless, we now still have hope, and we have reason. We have so much reason to still praise God for those things that he continues to do, and he can lift us up." Looking at Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, this is a very familiar passage to us. "Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest." The very end of chapter 11 and verse 30, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus is that for us, right? He is able to lift us out of the worries of this world, even whatever might come our way. Continuing in the text in Psalm 34, looking at verse 4 in particular, we see now David is following up these previous thoughts of praising God, of giving all honor and glory to him. Why should I do that? Why am I praising God? This is why. God gives us confidence no matter what circumstance we might find ourselves in. David and all of those that had gathered to him, those that were loyal to David, those that were still loyal to the next king in line, they had every right to be fearful. And they were. They were afraid. They were on the run from the king, the current king that was still in power, of Israel. And it was the one that God had put in power. And so you would think that that would be the one that you could place some confidence in. And yet they could not do that. And so David says to those who are fearful, that those fears are not going to last. It may seem dire right now, it may seem hopeless, but we need to turn to the Lord. We need to remember those things that he has done. He continues to answer us, and we need to remember those things that he's done. One frightful thing, again, that was happening in David's life was that the Lord's anointed was chasing after him, and he was seeking his life. And David could have easily said, I am the future king. Why is this happening to me? God has made this promise. He has assured me that I am going to be in this place of power and prominence, and my descendants are going to be on this throne. Why in the world is this happening to me? This is so backwards of what it should be. And yet we don't see David doing that. Even the poorest in spirit, and those with little means, God hears even that person. God certainly heard David. God certainly heard those that were still loyal to him, those with which it seemed their lives were going to end very shortly. Again, looking at James in chapter 1, whoever comes to God in humbleness, in sincerity, and a recognition that we need the help of God, God is going to freely offer wisdom to those that truly seek after him. And he's not going to withhold that. He will give all his wisdom to us, to those who seek him in that way. And with that point, when all seems lost, we can be sure that God has already set up a defense. Looking at another story much later in the history of Israel, in 2 Kings chapter 6, we see that an army had surrounded the city. And Elisha, a servant of God, was in that city, and he was with a servant of his. And that servant saw a great host, an army, coming towards the city. He was in distress. He said, how are we able to overcome this? They are numerous, and we have no one. What are we going to do? Elisha, as calm and as collected as he could be, said, those who are with us are more numerous than those that come against us. And he prayed to God that he would open the eyes of his servant. And when that happened, saw a great host of angels and chariots of fire that surrounded the mountain. And the day was won for them. It is only when we look upon what God has already done for us and what he's already done in our lives, how he has taken care of us, and especially in our spiritual state, as he has offered his only son for us, Christ died for us, and we have that relationship with him, we realize how weak of a hold the world actually has on us. And furthermore, we need to replace our fear of man, of the world, of financial means, of whatever it might be that may give us distress in this life. Replace that with the fear of the Lord. As we talked about this morning, we start with the greatest command when it comes to loving our brethren, to doing those things that God has expected of us. We start with love and we let everything else come after that. Well, similarly, start with the fear of the Lord and move forward from there and realize what he is capable of doing. Because when we realize that, we realize that perhaps if there are others that are coming against us, they can do no harm against us, because we have the one who is able to destroy, even our enemies, those that would oppose him. And so, coming back to Psalm 34, we ought to see God as he is and fear him as he is. Looking at verse 8, says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. In other words, use your senses, right? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Look and remember the good that the Lord has already done. And does he stop now? No, David is not saying that he stops now. He continues to taste and to see that the Lord is good. Another character that we find in the Old Testament, Job. Job had to be reminded of that lesson as well. He had to be reminded of all that the Lord had done previous to the situation that Job was now in, a servant of God. And he was rebuked by the Creator. Were you there in the beginning, Job, when I created the foundations of the world? Remember who I am and remember who you are. Remember who you serve. And so because of who we serve, because of the nature of whom we serve, it is good, it is blessed, and it is a sure thing when we trust in God. Because again, if we trust in ourselves, that's not a very good foundation we're going to find ourselves on. It's very faulty, and it's not going to last. And then coming to verse 9, O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. It is only when we fear him, when we fear God, our Creator, that we truly find peace. If we truly acknowledge who God is, what he has done, it is good. It is a good thing that we do that. But it should also cause us to fear. We use phrases like, God bless you, and I love God, and even God bless America. Do we really mean those things? Especially in saying, I love God, right? We even talked about that a little bit this morning. If we love him, we will do his commandments. If we do not, then that should cause us to tremble and to fear him even more because of what he is capable of doing, being the righteous judge, knowing what he is capable of. And so when we fear him, that leads us to a path of goodness, a path of consistency and obedience to him and those things that he's laid out in his will. And so when we align ourselves like we do in that way, as David did, we can find peace. And David found peace in the most dreadful of circumstances. And it would seem to some, even like Job's friends and even Job's wife, someone looking from the outside in, looking at David's life, that he had not feared the Lord, that he had not done those things that he ought to. He had been appointed as the king, but perhaps David has now done something to where the Lord has taken that away. We see the opposite of that. Saul, who was in a place of power, Saul, the supposed leader of Israel, the Lord's anointed, no longer feared the Lord, and in fact acted in rebellion to God, acted in rebellion to what he knew the Lord's will was. And David, on the other hand, again, was the successor to the throne. He did fear God, and he was a man after God's own heart. And the Lord continued to help him. In verse 10, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. The Lord still provides. Even such a magnificent beast as the lion is even going to go without food for a time, perhaps. We may also, yes, even those of us who serve the Lord, who are faithful to him, that do those things that we ought to, even with the right motivations, as we talked about this morning, with love, with care for one another, we also can be in want, can be in need. I know there are those that know of Christians around the world that have such situations. We are truly blessed in this part of the country and in the world. Those in the Philippines, I know, in the past have suffered hunger, continue to suffer hunger, don't know where their meal is going to come from whenever they wake up in the morning. And yet know of many, many faithful Christians that are in that part of the world. We too, if it came to that, can learn to be content in all things. As David was, even in the midst of distress, as Paul did, as we see in the New Testament. And David and Paul and many other faithful servants of God, they could have looked on their distresses, seen their situations, and they could have blamed God for that. I have served God, and this is what I have to show for it. No, that's not what we see these people of faith doing. The language that I find here in Psalm 34 is someone who is not lacking truly good things. He recognizes those truly good things that still exist in his life. And he remembers the good that has come and that is going to continue to come. And even if the good comes, it may not come in the way that we expect it to. And we have to realize that as well. God answers our pleas according to what he deems best for us. And that is still good as well. Continuing in the text here in verse 11, again with this theme of fearing the Lord. True fear of God, when we truly fear God, it means that we are going to be heard by him. In verse 11, come you children, listen to me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? In order to reap a good life, we have to do righteousness. We have to do good. Continuing down in the text in verse 13, it says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. To keep your tongue from evil. It could have been very easy for David and his followers to slander, to despise, to say false things against King Saul. It could have been very easy for them to do that, and I'm sure perhaps some of them even did. We see David ridicule his followers, those that were with him, on multiple occasions for those that would ridicule the Lord's anointed. That is not something that David was about. And David even comes to the point of cutting off a piece of King Saul's garment, and he is sorrowful. Even over that, he is sorrowful. And that is what the fear of the Lord looks like, recognizing what the will of the Lord is. And when we go contrary to that, when we see others that are contrary to that, seeking to correct that. Do good, seek peace, and pursue it, verse 14 says. If David and his men had sought conflict with Saul, they would have surely been defeated. Again, it was not the will of the Lord that David and his followers should kill the current king of Israel. It was not God's will that the newly anointed king should kill this now reigning king. And David recognized that, again, time and time again. For us, it is not good, it is not prudent for us to rush into a situation headlong without considering the consequences. It's even easier today, right, with the use of social media and all of these digital platforms, to sit behind a screen and to rattle off whatever post we might have come across, rattle off a comment or several comments that are hate-filled, that are not profitable, and that actually add gasoline to the fire. Do not grumble and complain. Don't use hateful speech. Seek peace. Pursue it. Again, looking at those things we talked about this morning and how we are all individuals in the church. We are individuals of the churches that we are a part of. And we ought to be bearing the burdens of one another, not grumbling and complaining towards one another, not creating factions, but loving one another. And one final lesson on this point: it takes great evaluation to be able to look inward on ourselves and also to look outward and observe where I need to apply God's wisdom. That can be a very difficult thing. It's very easy to read the words on the page, then it's very difficult to apply those things. But God says that we can do it, that we ought to do it. It's what David sought to do. And he saw those parts of God's wisdom that he and the people that he was with needed to remember. And that also ought to be a lesson to us. Are we applying those things that we read? Or is this just educational? Is this just trivial? Right? Is it just words on a page to us? Coming back to the text in verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The Lord has not forgotten. This was a time of persecution for the faithful people of God. It was a depressed time in the kingdom. The kingdom was still united. We study that as we do in classes and whatever else we might do in our own personal studies. This is the United Kingdom, and then we move on to the divided kingdom. But this was a depressed time in the history of God's people, because the first king they appointed was now chasing after the next king in line. David was very good friends with Jonathan, Saul's son, and Saul's own son was loyal to David. He did not follow after the pursuits of his evil father. In verse 15, the Lord says, I hear you. I know you hurt. I know you've been wronged. David had gotten very close to Saul's family, and now this is what he has to show for it. The Lord says, be patient. Endure. I will right this wrong, and I am with you. And he does so when we fear him, when we come to him with contrite and humble hearts. In North Charlottesville, we've recently been going through the book of Revelation in our Sunday morning class. As you know, the book of Revelation is a book filled with many signs and symbols and fantastical images. But it is, at its core, an encouraging book because it brings hope to those that are in distress, to those that are being persecuted, to those that were being persecuted in the first century. And that is the message that John received and that John relayed to those brethren. David is getting that same message. David is relaying that same message to those that feel persecuted, those that are being persecuted. And with all of that, David ends this psalm in verses 19 through 22 here with the full assurance and the full justice that God provides. And David says here that we can work through difficulties. In Psalm 44, in verse 22, it says, "For your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." Proverbs 24 and verse 16 says, "The righteous may fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked will fall low to calamity." The Lord will continue to pick us up in spite of those who might rail against us, any persecution that might come against us, because, again, we have come to Him with fear, with love, recognizing our position to Him. We are down here, He is up here, and He is able to do so much more than we are capable of. And that is when that happens, that is when we recognize all things are possible, and we can endure this. It was the message that David delivered to those loyal to him. It is the message that we continue to hear today. And so you may be going through difficulties in this life. Continue to seek God and His goodness. Continue to look at the promises He has given us. The Lord has not let one promise fall to the ground. Each and every single thing He has promised to us and to His people throughout time, He has come clean on, and he has done those things. Seek those promises. Don't lose hope. As we've entered into studies with those in the community, one of the things that Mr. Larry emphasizes time and time again is people getting back to this. Right? They may suggest, "Oh, I've listened to so and so who is a spiritual leader of this religious movement, or I've listened to whatever else." Well, have you been reading? Have you been reading? Have you been looking at the consistencies that God brings? Because those that you listen to out in the world, they are full of inconsistency. But this will bring you consistency and hope. The Lord will preserve the righteous, David says. And God will break the will and the fortitude of the wicked. And the Lord also offers a promise. Again, we've talked about many promises this evening. But the promise that David brings up here is that their own evil, those that practice wickedness, their own evil will be done against them and will visit them. Saul, in all his pursuits to kill David, to capture him, Saul would be faced against the Philistines, and Saul would eventually die at his own hand, the very hand that sought to kill David. Saul truly hated David, and he was brought down because of it. To David, when that happened, and even these words that he is now giving to these people, these are comforting words, but they are also frightening if we're on the wrong end of that. "None who trust in God will be condemned. All who trust in God will be saved." And if we don't learn to trust, then we will be condemned. Again, Saul was told what was going to happen to the kingdom because of his actions. He had acted treacherously. He had acted in rebellion to God, and Samuel told him that. And yet he didn't accept it. He tried to bend the will of God and tried to undo that which the Lord had said was going to happen. And we know that just does not work. It is not going to work. As we look at the whole of what David says here, we ought not use our own wisdom in the face of trials. Again, if it was me and I was faced against this situation, I see these followers that I have, like, we can take them, you know, we could do that, or continue to flee, continue to run, and just live in isolation and not trust in God and not believe in God and those things that He has given. It could be very easy for any of those things to happen. And yet, David did not do those things. We ought to remember the goodness, remember the good things, remember the promises and the assurances that God gives us. As we look at what David was going through at this incredibly uncertain time, you talk about not knowing what tomorrow is going to hold. David certainly didn't know what each day was going to hold during this time. And yet he had great assurance of what was going to happen in the end. And we look at other characters in the Bible, we look at how they trusted in God and how they turned out for the better. And David was able to do these things not because he was David, king of Israel, not because he was David the shepherd, or any other titles he might have had. It was because he was David, the servant of God. He was David, the man after God's own heart. And when God is on our side, we can get through even the very worst of times. And that should be a very comforting thought to us. And we trust in Him and trust in His promises. I hope these thoughts have been encouraging for you this evening. This is a very powerful psalm to look at, as all of the psalms are. But especially those that we can even look at, having more context and looking at the lives that many of these characters led, it is so encouraging. Again, we want to offer the invitation to any of those here this evening who have not put on Christ. Again, if you are not in the relationship that God desires to have with you, He still desires that. He will. He will wait. And He has been long-suffering. But that long-suffering will not last forever. And so please take advantage of that invitation that He still offers even this evening. Perhaps you are in the body of Christ. You've not done those things that He wants you to do. Then you can make that right this evening. And so won't you come as we stand and as we sing the song that's been selected.